The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. I am your host, Nathan Ross, tax CPA, and for the next hour, as we normally do at 7 a.m. on 700 a.m. or AM 700, each Sunday morning we talk about real estate private partnership syndications. And not only do we talk about what they are, why you might invest in them, and the individual math that you need to assess on each transaction, we also talk about collateral planning strategies. For instance, why you might consider the Roth conversion once you get your money into the 401 trust that then invest in private syndications. And I've seen several articles lately that have mentioned what I've been mentioning for a while now, because our asset class, the real estate private partnership, so easily lends itself to the Roth conversion collateral strategy, and it does so at a valuation that's very attractive to help you get your assets recast over into the tax-free bucket from the tax or tax-deferred if it's within the 401 trust. And I'll be joined here after the first break by Dan Dubose, CPA. And we're going to talk about some reasons why the Roth conversion is especially attractive in the times we find ourselves now, provided we've got our money into the asset class that I'm referring to. In any event, for those of you that listened to us before, you know we always start off the question with, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or to create significantly more wealth over the rest of your lifetime by using tax optimized strategies, which is what we routinely do because we're planners. Whereas most CPAs or accountants or EAs or H&R Block employees, etc., are reporters. They're seeking to focus on what happened last year. Let's get your taxes filed. And that's pretty much the last time you hear from them until next year. We hope to put some strategies in place now to help you this year, next year, and the rest of your life. And if we do that with the right resources, if you've got the variables that allow us to do planning, it will make a significant impact on the single biggest cost you face as an investor. That's to date. Now, moving forward, it's going to be even more significant. And if you didn't catch our show yesterday, where Dan and I talked about the federal debt and what makes up the various components of the federal budget, to where you understand how little of the discretionary component of the budget remains and how it will not remain sometime out around 2029 or 30. Could be faster, but we hope inflation gets tamed soon and it throttles the increase in interest rates, because we are at a very low average interest rate on that national debt that won't last much longer, or so it appears, with the inflationary tendencies and the Fed Reserve raising the rate. I guess it's the discount rate, the rate at which banks can borrow money. I've lost the term on that, but in any event, you understand what I'm saying. Money is getting more expensive, And it's, you know, shown in the real estate private partnership space with apartments. I know we had transactions a year ago that would close at sub 3% type debt. And now I think we're seeing up into the high threes, and I suspect we'll be over the 4% mark at some point here soon. In any event, back to our disclaimer. I think you heard the disclaimer by KSEV at the top of the show. I'm going to elaborate on that and just real quick indicate that, just came to me. Fed funds rate. That's the rate I was seeking to remember that's been raised recently. And in fact, I think it was half a percentage point just this past week, which that's making up for lost time. That's the way I would classify that type of raise. In any event, back to the disclaimer, just because you listen to this show, that doesn't make us your accountant, tax advisor, real estate advisor, or other advisor. Only if or until you engage with us, we have an engagement letter, you've paid us some money, etc., will you become a client where you can then rely on the answers, because we'll have your information to be, providing you specific tax advice. Otherwise, we can speak generally about the general rules, but just understand that in most cases, the general rule is rarely the answer, at least in your case. And so you always want to check anything you hear on this show, other shows on the internet, in a book, etc., whether what you're reading is relevant to your specific facts and circumstances. And in most cases the answer could well be different, or in many cases the answer would be different. In any event, if you do want to ask questions on the air today, we don't take calls, but you're welcome to send a text message to 713-581-0195. Again, that's 713-581-0195, and you can do that now. You can do it throughout the show. You can do it over the next week, next month, etc. Or you can also email me at nathan@npross.com, or you can email Dan, who'll be joining us shortly, at daniel@npross.com. And we'll be happy, to the extent we have your information, to try to help you answer some questions. And by the way you get us your information is by going to the baplanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER website, and fill out the top right, you'll see a link for intake forms, and right next to that you will see a link for scheduling a call, and you're most welcome to do both of those in the order I mentioned. Fill out the forms and then you can immediately go schedule a call. Won't take us long to run through them. And if you have significant retirement money, we will show you that if the 401 trust that we use with quite a few of our clients, if you're eligible for that, we'll give you some idea of what that looks like on a 30-year go forward, assuming you were to invest in real estate private partnership syndications involving multifamily apartments is typically what we're looking at. And so in any event, multifamily syndication in 2022 is already off to a bang. It's amazing the dollars that have poured into this asset space, including private equity, and then at the highest level, and then, of course, private equity at our level, my clients and I, et cetera, that invest in these transactions. We're up to the first break here, so we're going to take a few minutes to take that break, and then we'll be back, and Mr. Dan DuBose will be joining us for the rest of the show. We'll be right back.
I'm Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we're joined now by Mr. Dan DuBose, CPA, one of my associates. And for those of you that have been listening to the show, you've heard him several times as of late, including yesterday. And in any event, Dan, how are you doing today? It's kind of early for you there.
Yeah, it is. Right. Good morning. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate Dan's involvement on the show. It makes it far easier than doing it solo. And, it's always great to have a second opinion. I'm told I need to let him talk more, so I'm going to try to do that. It's very difficult with me having done this on my own for so long. But I do welcome the insights and keeps me thinking at times while he's talking. Dan, I think what I want to do today, you know, we've been talking about the Roth, it seems like, every show, and that's because we're getting calls and questions about it. And, you know, there are differences between the Roth IRA and a Roth 401k. And so, you know, sometimes we may slip or we may say something where it appears, the rules are identical and they're not. So I want to be clear, before you do anything with the Roth, you want to make sure you've vetted that question with someone that knows your specific facts and circumstances. In any event, Dan, you know, we've been talking about provisional tax brackets, Social Security, et cetera. Why don't you give us a summary of the rules as it relates to Roth funds versus, say, I don't know, you've got money in a pension plan that's coming in monthly. I mean, there's a big difference, right, in those two items?
Yeah, pension money is part of your provisional income for deciding or determining how your Social Security is taxed or may be taxed at your for your taxable year. Each year it would determine how much of your Social Security might be taxed or what rate, up to 85% could be taxed.
That's right. And the pension plan is clearly always going to fill up part of that bracket.
The pension plan will fill it up pretty quick most of the time. Yeah, $34,000 for a married couple.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, anybody, when we look at a couple's tax facts and circumstances. And, of course, the first question we ask is, can we get to the zero tax bracket? And if they've got Social Security and a, you know, even a $3,000, I think somewhere around $3,000, $3,500 a month pension, there's no way to get there, because that totally consumes the standard deduction, correct, Dan? I think it's $25,000
goes up a little bit each year for inflation purposes, yes, but around $25,000 now for a married couple.
Yeah, so while it's no reason to turn down the pension, it does beg the question of maybe we take a lump sum. Depends on the pension. I know I've got clients that I would tell them no way, no how should they take the lump sum offered on a pension, because it pales in comparison, you know, to what they'll get over time. Not only that, you've got the issue of maybe some spousal funds that would come if you passed away or the client passed away. So that's a consideration. But at the same time, 85% of your Social Security being taxed is a big number as well. So you really have to look at the math and figure out, you know, juggle those two balls and see if it doesn't make sense maybe to take the lump sum. And if it's invested correctly, you know, perhaps it makes up for some of that differential. Dan, the other thing that I want to talk about, because we find ourselves in precarious times with the market, and this really affects people that aren't even invested in these real estate private partnership syndications, and that's the concept of, should you do a Roth conversion when the market's down? And so I'm assuming you probably have an opinion on that, no?
Well, certainly if the market's down, you're going to be able to convert at a lower tax rate, because you have a lower value going into the Roth from your tax-deferred or taxable accounts. They would,
yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The taxable accounts, of course, you want to spend that down as soon as you can. When you get into a tax planning situation anyway, you want to spend that down. But the Roth, if you're doing the conversion to the Roth, the lower the value going to the Roth, the less the tax hit would be that particular amount that you're converting at that time.
So right. If you were talking about stock shares, you
and
know, the market drop
stock or mutual funds, yes.
Yeah. So if you had the 500 shares of a given security and it dropped by half, you're still going to have the 500 shares that could rebound. And if you go ahead and pull the trigger on a Roth conversion, your tax basis is half what it would be before it dropped. That's a big difference in the tax that one would pay at almost any bracket, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, but the thing is, in the case of the market dropping, that's simply one effective discount compared to the 20 to 25 discounts that we have when we invest in these real estate private partnership syndications. And how do I know that? Because every private placement memorandum, which is part and parcel of the doc stack that you get to review as an investor, the SEC mandates that those 20 or 25 risk factors be disclosed. And so in a publicly traded security context, lack of marketability is one of the big ones in terms of those discounts. And so we still get that, but we also get other discounts that might sound less benign than, say, a share of Apple stock might have. When you're an owner in a real estate private syndication, per the SEC, you need to be aware before you invest your money about things such as, you've got a relatively small management group that's executing your transaction, ergo, that bears risk. You may not be able to rent your apartments. Now, you know, that seems rather intuitive, I guess, but that's a risk that we face in all of life. That would be like saying you may need your umbrella today because it's going to rain. you know, I think most people understand that when you're investing in rental real estate, you do need to rent the property. That's kind of a basic tenet to making money. And so, I'm only saying this because it puts into context some of the other items that are, quote, risk factors that you should be aware of, because the SEC says you should. And I'm not going to belittle the SEC at all, because those are very good points. And I'm going to say they're very valid points. And I'm going to say it's going to help drive the value for that Roth conversion down from where a dollar equals a dollar to maybe the point where a dollar is only worth 30, 40 cents. That's a big deal when you're talking about converting pre-tax income. When you're talking about telling the government, now, government, you're gonna have a line in the sand here where you find out how much your ownership interest is worth. Who amongst us that has pre-tax retirement money has any idea how much your partner is going to take out of that deal, your partner being the government? You have no idea. And if you look at what Dan and I were discussing yesterday on the air, and I'm going to pull that quote up, this is from the CBO. You remember this study I referred to yesterday, Dan, the long-term economic effects of alternative budget policies?
Yeah.
Do you recall how much the increase in the lowest bracket will be necessary to stem the tide of insolvency? I'm putting you on the spot. The bracket, the lowest, well, right, the lowest bracket would have to go from 10% to 25%, and then the bracket that's currently in the 24-25% range. Now think about this. This is middle class America. This is where your income is somewhere in the 20, I'm sorry, in the, I believe it'd be about 130, 140, 150 a year, married filing joint. Am I thinking right? Okay, good. And so that bracket would have to, this is according to the CBO now. This isn't some right wing, economic forecast. I mean, not that the CBO gets it right too much of the time, but at least they are the official government forecaster. Anyway, the middle class rate, the 24-25% rate, would have to be increased to 63%. Think about that. 63%. Who pays 63% now, Dan? What class of people pay that?
Well, very few, unless you consider New York and California when they put their
well, I'm going to tell you it's not very few. It's none. Nobody pays 63%. Right. And so that's far above, even when you add, I don't know, I think California is what, in the 13.5% tax bracket now, in the highest. So let's say you were paying the 40.8 federal. That'd be the 37 overt highest bracket plus the 3.8%, I believe it still is, net investment income tax, or the Obama tax. Right. And so then if you added 13% to that 40, that's 53. So this clearly, and of course, this is just the federal bracket. You would still have, if it were California and current rates, you'd still have another 13% here. So you'd be in the 76% tax bracket. And I forgot New York's, it's equally bad. But that's not the end here. What the next tax rate, the highest bracket, which are people that are currently in the 35-37% bracket now, that would have to be raised to 88% according to CBO. That's pretty extreme, and that's not, again, that's not a right wing. It's not the Heritage, who is it, Heritage Institute, I think, is one that's quoted, or Heritage Foundation. This is our government's, I'm going to say, progressive budget forecaster, and that's scary. And they're not the only ones that are saying it. I guess the reason I use these numbers is because it's that bad, okay, that they would pick up on this. According to Forbes, there's a Forbes article I cited yesterday, the problem we have is there's not enough high-income earners to satisfy today's debt and deficit. This means that middle-income America will soon be in the scope of the congressional rifle because the poor have nothing to tax. The middle class will be forced to ante up. And I guess when the FY23 budget proposal was announced by the White House the last month and a half, you heard all this smoke around the billionaire tax, which even if they collected every penny that the billionaires have, it wouldn't fix the problem. But they were using the billionaire tax to hide, put some smoke around the fact that all of the Build Back Better tax provisions are embedded in that fiscal year 23 proposal. So it's assumed that all the people in the 400, if you're single, 450, four, that's 450,000 range if you're married, file a joint, are going to be paying more income tax if they go over those numbers. And so, again, but the nice thing is when we bring this back to Roth conversions, and again, the Roth conversion is absolutely one of the best ways to try to sidestep what's coming. We call it a tax train. And yes, there are other planning strategies, but the Roth appears to be one that will still be standing if the Build Back Better provisions occur. And I guess what's kind of ironic, if you look at the way the provisions have been drafted thus far, is there's a 10-year window before those that are over 400, if you're single, it's 400,000, 450,000 joint. The inability for you to convert to Roth doesn't kick in until the year 2032, which tells me there's a lot of congressmen and women that must have pre-tax 401 plans or IRAs, so they've got time to convert. So you can convert, your income could be $1 billion a year, and you could convert to Roth, although I guess one of the other provisions of the Build Back Better might get you there. If you've got more than $10 million of your billion sitting in an IRA or 401, you're going to have to take that money out to get it down to $10 million. But theoretically, again, you could have $2 million in your 401 and have $1 billion outside, and you could still convert to the Roth side of the 401 or Roth IRA for the next 10 years, assuming it even passes. And let's hope that Senator Manchin, and I guess Senator Sinema, is still holding strong as well. Let's hope they continue to do so. But I won't bet on it until we get past the 2022 midterms, and then I think by that point we'll know a little bit more about where we're headed. By the way, for those that might ask the question, could tax rates really double? There's a quote, I can't remember where I saw this, but I clipped it from somewhere. It says the tax rates of most industrialized nations already approach 50% on average. Yep. So, you know, our tax brackets have been on sale, Dan, and I can say that for most of our lifetimes, the tax brackets have never been lower. And that's probably not true of people my age and your age, but, you know, it's close. And I know for those that are 50 and under, it's an absolute true statement, I believe, that the brackets have – they're on sale, I mean, relative to history.
But, yeah, certainly from my working time, it has been low rates, and I've been very blessed with that, there's no doubt. But it's not going to stay that way, Nathan. I just don't believe it can. You know, rates have got to increase in order to pay for the government.
Well, unless the progressive monetary policy folks are correct, which I don't think they are, and in fact, I think we're seeing the inflation right now pretty much explaining why that theory won't work, but and we'll talk about that just briefly when we come back, because I've got some information on just how much of this inflation is related to the stimulus money that went out last 18 months. Anyway, we'll be right back from this break. Give us a few minutes and we'll return for the third segment of the Syndication Mass Show.
Keep me in the shelter of your care each day. Cause I am a seeker and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
From Houston. When I got them North Texas blues, thought I'd paid all my dues. When them South Texas blues told me, son, you ain't true. And them East Texas blues, and them West Texas too. I've done all I know to do, trying to lose. Trying to
Okay, welcome back to the third segment here on this week's Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross and today's guest, Dan DuBose, CPA. And one thing I wanted to mention from our earlier conversation here with regard to doing the Roth conversions within the 401 trust is how that, you know, we don't have to liquidate the investments to do that. And I know I get a lot of questions from folks that are wanting to engage on that front, and they're always confused about, well, how do I do that if my money's tied up in investments? And in fact, we want your money tied up in investments, and we want to do it at a point before the property has been made perfect and maybe executed new leases, get tenants in there that are paying higher dollars. In other words, we want to time it where it's just like the Apple stock that fell 50%. And I'm not saying Apple fell 50%. I'll tell you, there's stocks that did. I don't know what they are right offhand, but I've heard enough moaning and groaning to know that it has happened here in the last week or so. And so the point is, it's not like you have to liquidate the investment to claim a certain value. We do the valuation analysis where we apply the relevant discounts. We use recent IRS tax court cases generally, or settlements that are made public, or private letter rulings, which are not really private. They don't give us the ability to rely on them, but suffice it to say that it would be expected the IRS would rule in a like fashion again. And so we're using relevant current data and applying that to the facts and circumstances of transactions that you might be in. And again, we're not looking to do this when your property is on the way up in terms of valuation. We want to do it typically fairly short order after you've invested in these transactions. And we're not looking to do all the funds. If you had $500,000 invested in, let's just say, five transactions where you put maybe $100,000 in each one, you might parse out one of the transactions or half of it as much as, you know, you can afford the relevant tax on it, because the tax does have to get paid, and we strongly suggest you pay it from outside the 401 trust. you know, Dan, I think you would agree with that, correct? I mean, we don't want to cannibalize the geese that are laying the golden eggs, correct, by taking money out of the
trust. You surely want to pay the tax from outside the Roth or the IRA or whatever the conversion may be coming from. You pay it with your taxable bucket, if you will. Get it out of that taxable bucket. Keep as
correct.
Much in the Roth as you can.
Well, it usually works into that, but I'll also tell you there are optimal amounts to have in each of those buckets depending on your living cost, et cetera. And so but you know, the reality is most people could do more Roth conversion if they had the cash available to pay the tax. And of course, you're balancing all this against that tax train that's barreling down the tracks, and we're wanting to get this done. And I would guess, what do you think, Dan? If you're counting 2022, we want to do this in the next 5, 6, 7 years, because we think by then the writing will be on the wall. If no action's been taken, the writing will be on the wall. And in fact, if action has been taken, the writing may be permanently on the wall. So, you know, that's something we're looking at each year to try to pick the optimal spot. And it's not optimal necessarily to go convert 100% of your money, because that shoves you up in to a higher bracket than we'd like to be in most cases. So we're looking at that, determining, okay, if we go up to, say, the 24% bracket, you could convert this much money, or maybe you want to go up on into the 32% bracket because you're already there and you're thinking, well, 32 looks better than 65, right, down the road.
Yeah.
So, and you know, there's another class of taxpayer as well, Dan, that you know, as I think about this a lot lately, and I've actually got a couple clients that are in this situation where they've got an inherited IRA. And as you may recall, Dan, you know, we can't do a whole lot with inherited IRAs in terms of rollovers, correct? I mean, you basically
are
stuck. Yeah, you're stuck with that form. You can't get it into a Roth IRA. You can't get it into a self-directed 401 trust. However, you can put it into a self-directed IRA LLC vehicle, which helps a bit in terms of administering those funds. But if you think about it, you know, with the inherited IRA, we've got a 10-year window that we have to have taken the money out and paid tax on it, correct, Dan?
Yes.
Under the current rules?
Under the new law, yeah, the Secure Act, yes.
Right. And so what if we took money out of that 401 in the form of a sliver or a full piece of a partnership, where now we're right back in the same boat as we're in if we're doing Roth conversions? Correct? You thought about that? So you're taking an investment out that's in the IRA LLC's name, you're relisting it over to the beneficiary. So now it's in their personal name. Well, what's the value that you attribute to that? It's a distribution. Well, it's subject to all the same discounts that it is if we were converting to Roth. And so even in that scenario, we have some flexibility and we can get the money out. At, again, this would be like if the Apple stock in your self-directed IRA had dropped and now you were taking the shares out on a distribution to yourself, you're going to pay tax based on that fair market value that's getting liquidated. So there's multiple angles on, you know, doing the Roth conversion in the same context, albeit that we could do with an inherited IRA. You got any thoughts on that, Dan? Am I on the right path there? Or you think that's misinterpreting
those
rules?
You're on the
right
path. You know, anytime we can get a discount, we want to take a discount.
Well, I think that's the logical conclusion. And having talked to several IRA custodians, they make it very clear they're looking to you to provide them the value that interest is being relisted at. So that's saying the same thing. And I think, again, when I talk to other CPAs, and Dan, you're further ahead than most because, you know, we share a lot of content together. But I'm telling you, this is a big black hole for most accountants because they don't deal with this stuff every day. And there's some major opportunities for planners that have access to these types of funds. Let's see. We are, God, it's hard to believe we're already at the third break. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes with the final segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. And I want to turn our attention here to talking specifically about some real estate current partnership syndication opportunities. And, you know, we've talked on the show about the difference between transactions that are offered under the 506B crowdfunding statute versus the 506C. And of course, the 506C is for accredited investors. We can talk about those specifically on the air. You can be generally solicited or advertised if you're accredited because you're so savvy. The SEC is not too much worried about whether you really understood what you signed up for. And I would tell you, unless you do this every day like we do, you won't know what you're signing up for, and we would strongly encourage you to fill out our intake form, schedule a phone call right there on the baplanner.com website, and we will show you what we do on each and every transaction to help you make sure you know what you're signing up for. In any event, the other class of investor, the 506B offering that's available to both non-accrediteds and accrediteds, you know, there's fewer of those these days that are available. And I'm going to tell you, there's two syndicator sites that I would go sign up on, like you know, as soon as you want to be informed about transactions that are coming out from time to time, because ultimately you have to have a prior relationship with that syndicator at the point that that private placement memorandum is provided to the public. So that means the capital raise has begun. And if you're not accredited, meaning your net worth is not at least $1 million, and even if you are accredited, if it's a 506B offering, you can't walk up and say, hey, I heard about that from a guy on the radio the other day. I want to sign up. And it's too late. So I'm going to tell you, you want to go sign up now. And the two sites, the two portals, one is Makan, that's M-A-K-A-A-N, investmentgroup.com. Medina Sheikh is a syndicator that I've had on the air previously. And full disclosure, I have invested in one of his transactions. And he's somebody that I think you want to be tuned in to find out when he's got future deals coming out. And by the way, I'm not telling you to assume that either of these two syndicators are somebody that you just carte blanche go sign up for. You really have to understand that every transaction they offer will be different. And you want to make sure that you understand, again, how it might differ from those that have happened in the past that maybe Nathan Ross invested in. Okay, I might not be willing to invest in a future one because the terms that we were able to negotiate were favorable to the investor, whereas maybe we can't do that on the current one. Maybe it's a deal that the die has already been cast and we can't prevail upon the syndicator to make changes. In any event, McConInvestmentGroup.1 is one, or .com, I'm sorry. And they're both 506B and 506C transactions expected. Historically, that's what Medina Sheikh has offered through that group. Another portal is Pilot. It's www.pilot-legacy.com. And that syndicator's name is Lane Bean. Again, he's done both 506B. I was juggle some emails coming in. He's done both 506B and 506C transactions. And so, again, you want to be signed up just so you can find out. Whether or not you choose to invest, hey, that's a totally different decision. Don't invest until you understand what you're signing up for. But what I'm trying to do is help you get in position so that when those deals come out, you at least qualify to take a look at them, and maybe you might want to invest. And I think these are two of the better top-shelf syndicators out there right now, and you don't have to pay a fee to join a platform, you know, regardless of what you might hear on the radio. And I'm also going to tell you, I heard a comment here recently where one of the local platforms, it's not Self-Made Millionaires platform, you can give him credit for not saying something this insane, but effectively, this the gentleman that runs one of the competing platforms pointed to a bunch of new pictures on the wall for syndicators and said he had vetted every one of those folks, and you should not have any problems at all investing with any of them. And I'm going to tell you, if you fall for that, you'll have yourself to blame, because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how pristine of a program they run, this coming deal is going to be different from the last five. And if you fall for that, you're going to turn around at some point and realize that you signed up for something that didn't have the same math metrics or the same cash flow allocation regimen or profit allocation, or maybe it involved return of your capital instead of return on your capital, or maybe it involved a, 4.0 equity multiple, which is on its surface is unbelievable until you find out it takes 10 years to generate that, which means you may never generate it. And I'm going to tell you right now, your focus needs to be cash flow. Despite what I heard on the radio yesterday on Self-Made Millionaires program, he wasn't the one narrating that day, but I heard an interviewer interview a guy that's been in that program for many years and said that he really doesn't care what the cash flow might be year one, year two, et cetera. He just knows that somehow there's going to be some magic pixel dust get spread on that transaction, that at the end of the day, he's going to hit it out of the park. And I'm telling you, that is unbelievable that someone that supposedly is a credited investor, maybe not, maybe he's sophisticated. I think he's been in it long enough where he hopefully is accredited by now just from the profits that have come out of it. But if you really believe that, you're really sticking your head in the sand to think that, you know, it really doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you right now, it does matter to us, me and my clients. We're looking at transactions where we're expecting the cash flow to start when it does, when it's supposed to, when it's projected. And if it doesn't, we want to know why. And by the way, the gentleman that I just referenced looked over at the wall, all the new pictures, and said, you don't need to vet those guys. There's pictures up there of people that are behind on their current transactions that they ran through that platform. Members invested their money, and they're a year late on making distributions. That's why it matters, okay? Individual transactions are what you're looking at. You're not looking at someone you want to be friends with. That's totally different. You can be friends with people you want to be friends with, but when it comes to business, comes to investing, if you're not investing for cash flow, you're in the wrong investment. Go invest in an oil and gas well. That might not happen. And then you won't be too disappointed. But apartments are a little bit more of a known quantity, and we're counting on the math metrics that we've been told when we put our money into it. And so, again, there's so much we hear on the radio, so much we hear or see on YouTube, and I'm just telling you, you've got to drill down to the deal that's in front of you right now, not the one that happened, you know, 2 years ago or even 2 months ago. That's absolutely irrelevant unless it's produced positive results and you want to find out, well, gee, what did they do right to get something so quick out of the gate to be successful? Because, you know, being able to duplicate that, especially if it's the same syndicator, that's obviously a good thing. Dan, did you have anything you wanted to add to that? I know you go way back, your apartment development days. You've seen this stuff from the ground up. I'm just curious. Calm me down if you must.
But, cash flow matters, Nathan. There's no doubt about it. That's the reason you get into an investment. In this case,
well,
cash flow matters.
This topic absolutely does. And I'll tell you what, my clients that are counting on this money to live are not going to take that attitude. Listen, we've got less than a minute left. Dan, thanks for joining us again. Let's do it again this coming Saturday at 5 p.m. on the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. And thanks to all that tuned in today, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.